I've got to talk about it a little bit because I'm thankful and honored to have this man here before all of you today. If you know me at all and have worked with me at all, you know that the only thing I'm really concerned about in this fellowship, is not numbers, is not people, it's not anything but that the Word of God stays pure, that we have a standard that we've fought to uphold for the Word of God, that, boy, what you hear here on a Sunday morning is the Word of God, and nothing short of that. We fought to build that, and we fought to uphold that, and I believe we've done a pretty darn good job of keeping it that way. That's my only concern, and that what we do in this fellowship, that it's according to the Word of God and not according to your opinion or mine. And I know very few men who are as serious about teaching the Word and nothing but the Word as the man I'm going to introduce to you in a minute. He's one of the closest friends, perhaps the closest friend I've ever had in my entire life, for that very reason, that he's a man without compromise and yet with great tenderness to God's people, without compromise on God's Word, and a man who refuses to sweep things under the carpet, and a man who continually holds himself and others up to the standard of what does God's Word say. There are very, very, very few people that I would entrust this podium to on a Sunday morning. And the man you're going to hear from in a minute, I would entrust not only the podium, I'd entrust this area to in a heartbeat, because I know where his priorities are. I know his great concern is not to glorify himself or others, but to do one thing and one thing only, and that's to make God's Word known to the best of his ability. And that's why it's an honor for me to introduce to you this morning Reverend Jeff Duclos.
What an intro, bro.
Great time, man.
Thank you. Have a seat. I was thinking, I'd like to meet this guy. You know? How's that? Good. Well, Tom, thanks so much. And I certainly feel the same way about Tom. Certainly a thrill to be here. And we sing about 11 songs in Pennsylvania, have for the last number of years, and it's good to hear all these different songs. It's good to see someone leading and teaching those things. I've got my 11. I venture out into 12 and slip back to 11 every now and then. It's hard work for me to sing. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's start in verse 1. 2:1. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in the times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as what? That's right, by nature children of wrath, even as others. You know, we were all dead in trespasses and sins, without God, without hope. And it says here in verse 3 that we had our conversation, you know, the way we lived our lives, the way we behaved in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. They were our desires, our wills. We did what we wanted to do. But you know what's interesting? The adversary had an incredible role in our lives. He's the one that was directing the show. He's the one that was moving us. And it all came back to us, what we wanted to do, where we wanted to go, how it felt for us. It was all basically his nature, you understand? Remember, I think in Isaiah it talks about, he said, I will lift myself, I will, or, you know? That was the adversary. He was big. He wanted to be bigger than God, and that's where many of us were. Maybe we didn't see it like that, but boy, that's where we were. We did what we wanted to do. We went where we wanted to go. And a lot of it was by the control of the adversary. We didn't even see him, but boy, he worked and moved and ran our lives. And then it says, we were the children of wrath, even as others. You know that old saying, the apple falls close to the tree, you know what I mean? Chip off the old block. Well, that's what we were. We manifested the characteristics of the adversary. And it was all self. It was all us. What can I get out of it? Where is it? How's it going to benefit me? Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. Isn't that wonderful? Even when we were in this state, God stepped in and pulled us up and out of that muck and mire. Isn't that great? Look at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Boy, what a horrible place to be, huh? We watched a movie the other day about the end of the earth, and it was really hard for me to get into that movie because it was all hopelessness. There was no hope. And to identify with the end of the earth, I really couldn't. None of us could. We just looked at each other and said, there's no hope here. Without hope, it's a problem. Hey, by the way, if you're hearing some interference here, they brought me in to test these mice because there's something in my physical body that does stuff. And if there's any problem with this machine, they're gonna work the bugs out today with me. Honestly, if I stand with my mouth open for a minute, you'll hear like transmission of some radio program in Kentucky. I don't know what it is, but so I have a tendency to pick things up. But this show was it was incredible. Without God and without hope. And I couldn't identify with that because I have a hope. But you know, one time I didn't. One time I was an alien. I was a stranger. I was without God and without hope. But by the grace of God, I received the new birth spirit. By the grace of God, I began to learn a little bit about what God did for me through the work of his Son. And you know how that happened? That happened because someone loved enough to speak about the goodness and graciousness of God, you know? And the beautiful thing about that is when I was in my biggest moment of despair and that individual walked into my life, he had very little knowledge of God's Word. But you know something? He told me the little bit he knew, and that little bit he knew sparked in my life in such a magnificent way that I, in a matter of a few short hours, I was sitting in a fellowship hearing the truth of God's Word taught for the first time. You know, and I'm so grateful for that man. I'm grateful that he stepped into my life and spoke God's word to me. You know, I am so grateful. And I know there's many of us here in the same boat. You're so thankful that someone loved enough, someone cared enough, someone walked into our lives and spoke the word. Some of them under real dire situations. Some of them maybe real simple. You know, hey, would you like to come to the fellowship? But that invitation was made known. That love was shown. That concern was there. And I'm grateful to God for that. Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Look at verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as what? Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, or literally the fruit of the light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable or well-pleasing unto the Lord. We were once darkness, but now we're light. And God says to walk as children of light. We have the privilege to do that for others, just like someone did for us. Someone walked into our life and made known the greatness of God's word, manifested the love of God, cared enough, had enough compassion that they brought us up and out. We can do the same thing for people. We can walk as children of light. We were once darkness, right? We were just surrounded by that stuff, a part of it. It was our nature. Now we have a new nature, and we can walk as children of light. That's what we can do. And we can demonstrate what is the fruit of that light. We can demonstrate that. You understand? We can let people evidence that. This world is a dark place. We know that. And I'll tell you, in this world, there's a lot of people that have a very low opinion of God and a low opinion of his word. We can change that when we walk with God and for God. We can change that. You know, today I listened to the manifestations. And once again, to hear how good God is, it's absolutely incredible. Just to hear how he'll just do anything for us according to his word. He longs to watch after us. And then I thought, am I willing to live for him like he is willing to live for me? You know, am I willing to do what he says as willing as he is to do what he said he would do for me? You know, I thought that today, and that's our God. But we can be these wonderful children of light. We can let the world see the love, the goodness of God. We can exemplify what those t-shirts say, you know. We can, and we can give the world a shot at God. Let's go to Jeremiah 36, Isaiah Jeremiah. See, the world has seen enough bitterness, enough hate, enough religion. And that's where it takes men and women who walk with and for God and let them see the truth versus religion. Let them see love, the love of God versus hate. Let them see forgiveness. You know, let them see just the goodness and graciousness of God exemplified in our lives. In Jeremiah 36, let's read verse 2. This is God talking by revelation to Jeremiah. Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, against Judah, against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. Now this is why he was setting this stuff before them. Verse 3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. God was just wanted to show them where they're at, so that, and his heart was, it may be that they're going to come back to me. I want to take care of them. I want to help them. I want to bless them. That's what God wanted to do. That's why he asked Jeremiah to present this information. Then you read down in verse 6, it says, therefore go thou and read in the scroll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. Now this is Jeremiah telling Baruch to all right, get this information out, set this before them. And verse 7 says, it may be that they will present their supplications before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. Isn't that something? And what did he want to do? God said, it may be they're going to change. And look what Jeremiah said. It may be they're going to change. You know what Jeremiah did? He made God's desire his desire, you see? God wanted to help. God wanted to work. And, you know, Israel was doing great at this time, weren't they? Weren't they a tremendous blessing to Jeremiah? When he came into town, boy, they loved to have him. They did a lot of events, a lot of advances. He was a great guy. They were so... No, they weren't. It was 35, 40 chapters of nothing but hell for Jeremiah. But he kept walking with God because God's heart was maybe he could bring his people back to him. Maybe he could help them. And Jeremiah had that heart, you see. He made God's desire his desire. We can do the same thing. Just like God said, you once were darkness, walk as children of light. We can do that. We can walk like that. Let's look at let's go to Mark chapter 6. This is a record concerning Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at a few records. Jesus Christ was one who exemplified that. He made the Father's will his will. Mark chapter 6. Let's start in verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to what? Eat. They were quite busy, weren't they? And, you know, and Jesus Christ was setting up a time so they could rest because they were working very hard. And they were making known God's word. They were making known deliverance. And they were teaching God's word. And there was a tremendous amount of people there. But watch this. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with what? compassion towards them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Isn't that great? Did they need a rest? Were they working? But when he saw the need of those people, God's word in love, see, he looked on them with compassion. Unbelievable. See, I can look around and see the darkness in the world. I don't have to tell you about that. Have you seen it? Sure. But instead of looking upon them with disdain, maybe we could look upon them with compassion, that they're sheep having no shepherd, nobody to lead, nobody to guide, nobody to take care of them, and that's why they're where they are today. And maybe, by the grace of God, we can step in and their opinion can change of the true God. They can find a little bit about the goodness and graciousness of God. That's what we can do. That's what Jesus, you know, in that record about sheep having no shepherd, when you understand the Orientalism concerning sheep, sheep are just, the way Reverend Pillai says it is, they're walking, more grass, more grass, more grass, more grass, more grass, more grass, until they want, you know, and the shepherd steps in, and he stops them from getting in trouble. He works with them, he cares for them, he binds their wounds. See, that's the kind of stuff Jesus Christ did. Look at John 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us, and you know when Moses commands, we got to do it. You know us, Jesus, that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said because of their concern for the word living in that day and time. No, this they said that they could do what? That they might have to accuse him. They did it by, they were tempting him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that with a that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Isn't that incredible? That's what he said. And the beautiful thing is, the Old Testament law, if a woman was caught in adultery, what they did is they took both the man and the woman, and that's what the Old Testament law said, to stone them. And the people that were to do the stoning were the two or three witnesses that caught them. They were to throw the first stones. Do you understand? So Jesus Christ said, hey, he that's without sin amongst you, cast the first stone. Now, how many times have you ever heard Jesus Christ say things to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and when they said things to him, they just continued banging at him? This is one record where he walked with his father, and the words that he said literally saved the life of that woman. You know, saved the life of that woman. He spoke what God wanted him to speak, because the end result was, verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. So they left. He said the right words to deal with that. But you know, the beautiful thing is, he saved that woman's life, because he walked with God. Then he says, verse 10, and when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and what? Sin no more. Isn't that beautiful? Boy, look at the love that he walked with. Look at the compassion that he walked with. And look at how he walked with God, because they would have killed that woman. You understand? They would have done it with God's stamp on it. But Jesus Christ loved enough to walk in there and deal with that situation. And the end result was, go and sin no more. Great deliverance to that woman. Look at John chapter 9. John 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his what? Birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind. Isn't that an incredible verse? How long had this man been blind? Since his birth. And then they said, Master, who did sin? This man that he was born blind? How could you do that? Or his parents? Well, what had happened was the disciples were just voicing the religious opinion of the day. And that was really reincarnation. That's what the Pharisees moved. That's what the religious people moved at that time. And Jesus Christ, verse 3, answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Isn't that beautiful? He said, in light of these things, I'm here to bring deliverance. That's what I'm going to do. It wasn't their sin that caused this problem. But I'm here to bring deliverance. I'm here to make known the true God. I'm here to make known what God can do. Up until this point, religion didn't do a whole lot for them because they were sitting in darkness. They didn't know what God could do. They didn't know the graciousness and goodness of God. Jesus Christ made known God. That's what he did. And the response by people many times was, no man ever spake like this. No man ever spake like this. He heals. He delivers. Sometimes they said to the Pharisees, that he speaks with authority. He brings deliverance. They said, get out of it. They get all upset. But he was making known God. And this is what he said here, that he was going to bring deliverance. And verse 6, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And the end result was that blind man saw. That blind man was delivered. And of course, after he got delivered, the religious element got involved again, saying, how did this happen? Now, are you really the guy? And he kept saying, look, it's me. I got delivered. I'm healed. And they wouldn't listen. And then they brought his parents in. Well, is this your son? I don't know. I don't know anything. Don't ask me. Ask him. He's of age. They were so filled with fear. Fear of what the religious element would do to them. You understand? And this man just took a bold stand, boy. He just kept saying, well, isn't this a fine howdy-do? I get healed and you guys are trying to beat this guy up. You know, and their response to him was, you're right. We got a little sidetracked here. No, what they did is they excommunicated him. You know, and in those days when you got kicked out of a fellowship, it wasn't like you could join the one down the street. You know, you went and lived outside of the city with the pigs and the prostitutes. That's right. You were like cut off, all for believing God's word. And that's what it said. They excommunicated him. They got rid of him. They cast him out. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he, that man who was once blind, said, Lord, I believe. Isn't that beautiful? Boy, look at Jesus Christ. How he just went out and found that man. Look at the love, the compassion, the heart that he lived with. See, Jesus Christ made the Father's will his will. We can do the same. We can do the same. God's very willing to do so much for us. Are we willing to live for him? It takes a little work. It takes a little effort. It takes a little planning maybe, huh? It takes a little heart's desire. But we can do that. Look at, let's go to Acts chapter 26. This is a record of Paul. And he was speaking to King Agrippa, explaining what had transpired in his life. Because we know that Paul, when his name was Saul, just went about killing Christians. That's what he did. He put them in prison. He breathed threatenings. He did everything he possibly could to hinder them, to stop them. And he thought he was working for the true God. But one day, something happened. We're going to read that. Verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in my tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What Jesus Christ said, who appeared to him in this vision, what he said to him was, why do you persecute me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And what that meant is when an oxen was put in a yoke, when two oxen were put in a yoke, they had these things called pricks or goads that were there to keep them in line. And what the oxen would do when he didn't want to plow straight, he would kick. He would kick, and you know what he'd end up kicking? These goads, these sharp goads. And who would end up getting hurt? The oxen did, that's right. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying to him. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You keep banging your head into this wall here, and you keep getting messed up. And that's what it is. Same thing with people. You know, they have incredible low opinion of the things of God, incredible low opinion of themselves, yet the things that they do keep bringing harm and to them. We step in with the love and goodness of God, and we bring deliverance to those people. Boy, what a great thing to do. So here Jesus Christ was speaking to Paul, and he says, verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which we will appear, which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." And this was Paul's commission, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to what? Light. And from the power of Satan unto who? That's right, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Isn't that incredible? To turn them from Satan unto God, from darkness unto light. That's what we can do for people. You understand? We are children of light. We are not of the night. We can walk in and bring deliverance like that. We can help turn people's lives from darkness to light, from Satan unto the true God. Incredible, huh? That's what Jesus Christ did. That's what Paul did. That's what we can do. And look what Paul said. Verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Isn't that something? And you know, you look at the manner of life of Paul as his manner was, the things that he did. There's a great record where he was on Mars Hill. And on Mars Hill, they had every god known to man on Mars Hill. And according to Athenian law, I guess if anybody introduced another god, they'd execute him, because they had all the gods there. So people went up and just talked about the gods and talked about things. And Paul, when he saw this idolatry, he was just so stirred in himself that he wanted to get involved. He wanted to make known the truth of God's word. And you know what he does? He sees a statue made to the unknown God, just in case they missed one. And boy, he was walking with God. And he said, "I want to talk about this unknown God here." And he made known the greatness of the truth of God's word and his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the midst of all that incredible religion, he walked with and for God. That's what he did. And you know what ended up happening? It says some people believed and clave unto him. Boy, the light of God's word, what it can do to a man or woman. And it says at the end of that record, he walked off of Mars Hill. And the reason why he walked off, and why that's so unique, is he should have been a dead man. But he walked with God and for God. He was willing to do that. He wasn't disobedient unto that heavenly vision. And like I said, you can read records in God's word where it speaks of him and as his manner was. And his manner was that way because he decided to make it that way. He wanted to make God's desire his desire in bringing deliverance to the world. We too can do the same thing. I want to read another one that I think is so wonderful. Look at Acts chapter 8. This is Philip. Acts 8. Verse 29. By revelation, Philip gets some information to go join to a eunuch that worked for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And here's the information. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest what thou readest? he heard this eunuch reading from the prophet Isaiah and says, he gets there, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And you know what this guy said? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Isn't that beautiful? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And Philip came up and opened the scriptures unto him. There are people today that need that. There are people today that need men and women to guide them, to show them, to open God's word to them. Some of you teens, you might think you know this much, but I want to tell you, the very little bit you know is a lot more than most. I guarantee you. And you can walk with the love of God and make known the simplicity of that word of God. You know, the other day I was talking to my wife, and my daughter went to the beach with one of her gym friends, and who has been to fellowship a few times, and Natty's just endeavoring to speak the word to him, and she called up her mother and said, Mom, I think her mother's hungry. I've been sharing the word with her. You got to pray. Maybe we can get to her. You know what I mean? And I just got so tickled, you know, that she wanted to make known God's word. And she knows what they're into is definitely a little weird, you know, a little wacky. But I'm so thankful that her heart isn't, you know, the heck with them. She's just in there walking, endeavoring to make it known. And that just blessed my heart. You know, any of us, like I said, you teens especially, you might think you know so little, but you know so much. If you want to make known the truth of that word of God, you surely can. And you don't know what kind of change that can be wrought in people's lives by the little bit you did or the little bit you do. But the key is, do you want to make God's will your will? Do you want to walk in and make known the love of God? Do you want to walk in and make known the goodness of God's word? You can. Each and every one of us can. We can make God's desire our desire because he so wants to help. He so wants to take care of people. I think John 3:16 says, for God so loved the believers. No, he so loved what? The world, that he gave his only begotten son. That's love. That's love. We can manifest that love. We can walk with and for God. We can make known the greatness of God's word and the love and mercy and compassion and forgiveness of God. That we can do. We can be guides to the blind. We were once blind and we now see. We can make known the truth of God's word. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Let's look at verse 12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This working out your own salvation doesn't mean we work for eternal life. It doesn't mean that at all. It simply means to demonstrate the wholeness that is yours. That's what Paul, by revelation, was exhorting them to do with the reverence of God. It says, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of what? His good pleasure. See, God will work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not only will God work in us to will, but to do. He'll work in us to get us to do his word. God will work in us. He did that with the Lord Jesus Christ in situations where maybe he was tired, situations where pressure was on. God worked in him. Same with Philip, same with Paul. God worked. They were willing to let God direct, you see. They were willing to let God work in them. And God works in them to will and to what? Do. He'll work in you to get you to do it. You know what I think about it? It's kind of ridiculous. It's just the way my little mind does work at times. You know, it's like you try to get a kid to eat, you know. Open up. Come on, you like this little. Come on, turn it into an airplane. Open the hangar. All of a sudden, there we go. And we go for another one, you know. God works in us. He does. To will and to do of his good pleasure. Then it says, do. When he does, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And boy, when he works in us. And you know, is God's good pleasure going to bring deliverance? Is God's good pleasure going to bless you? Is it going to bless? It always will. And now God says, do it without murmurings and disputings. that purpose, verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Isn't that beautiful? Where are we? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. So hole up. Hide from them. Hide from them. Lock your doors. They're all around you. No, what do? We shine as lights. We're luminaries to the world. We let them know a God of love and goodness and graciousness. And we're right in the midst of it. Jesus Christ did it. Paul did it. Philip did it. It's because they were men and women who chose. They were men who chose to make God's desire their desire, you see? That's why they walked like that. We too can do the same, just like we're exhorted here in Philippians. In the midst of a crooked, perverse, to do. Let God work in us to bring deliverance to the world. See, many do have a low opinion of God's word. They've seen a lot of bitterness. They've seen a lot of hate. They've seen a lot of religion. Well, that maybe can change when we walk with and for God. See, how beautiful it is. That's our privilege. That's our joy today to do that. I want to close by rightly dividing a song for you. It's number 41. It's a song that's called Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And I couldn't lead it. If I did, you wouldn't know the song when we got done. But I'll tell you, the words in this song are really incredible. And about 20-some years ago, I was in Texas, and I saw a wonderful picture. It was a very, very large picture. And it was a picture of a lighthouse, and it was a picture of men walking out on the rocks with slickers on and lanterns. And it was this song in a picture. And it really blessed me. It really inspired me. And this is what this song says. It says, brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. And the refrain is, let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the waves, some poor fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. See, when the ships would come in, they could only come to a certain depth, the big ships. Then they'd come in with their little boats to get to shore, and they could see the lighthouse. But what they needed is help along the shore to get by the rocks and the reefs. And it took men who walked out in slickers and lights out on those rocks to bring those men home. You understand? That's what this song is about. It took men who were concerned enough to endanger their lives to get them to shore, you see? And like that song says, some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. And that's really where the world is at today. They really are. You know, they sit in darkness. They are confused. They are hurting themselves. And we walk in with the love and goodness of God. And that can change. It says here, dark the night of sin is settled, loud the angry billow roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Then it says, trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Doesn't say trim your lamp, my feeble brother. You know, it's, we've got it. We've got the ability. We can. So we just need to make that choice. We simply need to make that choice to make God's desire our desire. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be what? That's right. And you and I can be luminaries to the world. You and I can make known the light of God's word to the world. We have that privilege. Someone did it for us. Someone loved enough. Someone cared enough. Someone let us walk on their feet until we could walk on our own. We can do the same. And that really is God's desire for these people. That is his heart. He wants people to know how good and gracious he is and that he may take care of their lives. We certainly can be those luminaries to the world to introduce the goodness and graciousness of this God. Okay? So, should I pray? I'd like to. Father, thanks for your love, your grace, your goodness to us, for your spirit you placed within us. And Father, for the privilege we have to walk and talk with you, to allow you to bless our lives as only you can do. We're so grateful, Father, and so thankful for all you've done for us. And my prayer is that we may respond in kind to walk and talk with you and bring light to the world. Thank you, Father, for this privilege and for the return of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, bro.